The following is a class on the Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th canto, 9th chapter, text number 16, given by His Holiness Srila Satsarupa Das Goswami on May 22, 1996, at the Boston Temple.
Translation. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? Purport. Being in the material world is certainly miserable, but certainly when one is put into the association of asuras or atheistic men, it is intolerably so. One may ask why the living entity is put into the material world. Indeed, sometimes foolish people deride the Lord for having put them here. Actually, everyone is put into conditional life according to his karma. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj, representing all the other conditioned souls, admits that he was put into life among the asuras because of the results of his karma. The Lord is known as Kripana Vatsala because he is extremely kind to the conditioned souls. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, therefore, the Lord appears whenever there are discrepancies in the execution of religious principles. Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhaviti bharata tadatmanam srijamyaham. The Lord is extremely anxious to deliver the conditioned souls, and therefore he instructs all of us to return home back to Godhead. Sarva dharmam parityajya mam ekam sharanam braja. Thus Prahlad Maharaj expected that the Lord, by his kindness, would call him again to the shelter of his lotus feet. In other words, everyone should be eager to return home back to Godhead, taking shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord, and thus being fully trained in Krishna consciousness. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pisaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastitari Satarane. This chapter is called Prahlad Pacifies the Lord with Prayers. And now Prahlad is praying very sincerely and personally about his own situation and his relationship with Lord Krishna, Lord Nrisimha. When this chapter began, Nrisimhadev was furious, although he had already killed Hiranyakashipu. He was remaining furious, and all the demigods were afraid of that anger. And they were so afraid they couldn't even approach him to try to pacify him. So Lord Brahma asked Prahlad to go forward. And Prahlad said, "Why me? I'm the son of the demon. I'm so unqualified, just a boy. But I know that the Lord will be pacified only by pure devotion, not by me, per se." So he went forward, as always, fearless, and fearless of Hiranyakashipu, and he was also not afraid of the fierce feature of Ugra Nrisimha, angry Nrisimhadev. So he began his prayers, glorifying the process of bhakti, which can please Krishna. Now, in the verse just previous to this, he has stated that he's not afraid of the features of the Lord. These features are meant for creating fear. That's why he appears as a half lion, to create fear and to actually have the fitting form for destroying. Of course, Krishna, he can destroy if he appears just like a little boy who appears like he can't do much. When Krishna was in the wrestling arena, People were very much shocked that he was going to fight these big wrestlers. And he said, these boys, Krishna and Balaram, they're just little boys with delicate bodies. But actually, Krishna, he can take any form. But he takes fitting forms to do the job as his leela. Therefore, he took the form of a hog to lift up the earth from a filthy place. And to frighten and defeat the very powerful demon, he takes the form of the most ferocious beast and a man. Of course, there were other reasons too, because Hiranyakashipu had a benediction not to be killed by any man or any beast. So it's a very fearful form, but he said, I'm not afraid of this form, because I know it's not meant for me, it's meant for my protection. I don't fear you. So therefore, it's a bit of a surprise that in the next verse, the fearless boy says, I am afraid. And he even uses that word Ugra, which we think of so much as the word for Nrisingadev. Although Nrisingadev is Ugra, Prahlada is not afraid, but he's afraid of another Ugra. And that he mentions here, the samsara chakra, the cycle of birth and death. Material life is miserable because we have to die, be born again, get disease and die in old age and die again and again. And during that time, while we try to be happy, we're always being harassed by the nature, by other living entities, by our own body. And Prabhupada says here, bad as it is, it becomes intolerable when you have to live with asuras or demoniac persons. This particular misery is especially felt by those who know the difference between an asura and a sura. The asuras, they suffer by being with other asuras, but not the way a devotee suffers if he has to be with the non-devotees. When Lord Chaitanya spoke with Ramananda Roy, they had this question and answer period. So Lord Chaitanya said, what is the greatest unhappiness? Ramananda Roy replied, I know of no greater unhappiness than to be separated from the devotees. To be with the non-devotees is worse than being in a cage of fire. So this makes the pains already bad, but with sadhu sangha, we can tolerate. But when we are without that sadhu sangha, and we have to associate with the non-devotees, it is very difficult. And so we're advised to avoid it, a sat sangha, tyag, a vaishnavachar. If you maintain a desire to be a devotee and you have an inclination for associating with materialistic persons, that's not very good. Lord Chaitanya said, for a person who is trying to cross over the ocean of birth and death, association with materialistic men, or not only associating, he said, to see a materialistic man or to see a woman who is interested in sense enjoyment is worse than committing suicide, taking poison. So we shouldn't seek it out, but sometimes we are put into it. In fact, sometimes saintly persons, they avoid this by all means, and they go to solitary places like the Himalayas and caves and so on, so they don't have to see the asuras. But when devotees preach, then it appears that they're seeking out the asuras. What is this? They're looking for them. So if it is so painful, if it is so contaminating, how do they bear it? There's a nice statement by Prabhupada on this one purport. And of course, he was most in a position to be able to talk about this because he left Vrindavan and came to the land of the Asuras. His first stop was Boston. And Prabhupada's, think of Prabhupada's mood in Boston. Of course, Prabhupada came later to Boston and visited the temples quite a few times from 1968 to 1971. But the first time he came, he was in a very special mood. And devotees like to think of that mood of Prabhupada. We cannot know the mind of the acharya, and it's particularly on that instance, although he revealed his mind in a poem. If you want to take his mind as in that poem, which we do, he was in a very humble mood as he signed the poem, "An Insignificant Beggar, Boston." Bhaktivedanta Swami, Boston, Commonwealth, to you. So even the nearness of those phrases, insignificant beggar and Prabhupada's name and Boston. It was Boston that brought this state about, the degradation, and seeing it for the first time, America, and Prabhupada being so materially poor, with no official patronage. So he felt very humbled and helpless to preach to the Asuras. He definitely saw this as a place of Asuras, material wealth and intoxication by this wealth, by the skyscrapers. It didn't take him long to understand it because he was so intelligent. He could see the people are completely different here. They're demoniac. I don't know how I'll be able to speak to them in their language about Krishna. He brought this up later in the lecture in New York, that I'm not happy, he said, here in New York. I would be much happier if I stayed in Vrindavan. I'd have no anxiety. And then, why have you come here? He asked himself. And he said, because, he was saying that I'm not happy in New York. My heart is hankering for that Vrindavan. I'd be very happy if I could return to Vrindavan. Then why are you here? Because I have brought a message for you people. I'm duty-bound. My spiritual master told me to come. So Prabhupada writes, "The devotees in the Krishna consciousness movement are preaching all over the world in accordance with the order of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They have to meet many karmis, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they are unaffected by material influences. He has blessed them, as described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kabu na badhibe tomara vishaya taranga, Punarapi etani pabe mora sange." A sincere devotee who engages in the service of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by preaching his cult all over the world will never be affected by vishaya taranga, material on the contrary, in due course of time, he will return to the shelter of the lotus feet of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and thus will have perpetual association with him. This is a blessing by Prabhupada for those who go out every day to distribute books, to meet the Asuras, that they will be protected by the waves of sense gratification and the waves of demoniac influence coming from the city, coming from the people. And the intolerable situation, by their putting up with it, they become very dear to Krishna. So, this is one point, that the material world is a miserable place, made more miserable by the Asuras. But the devotees, working on behalf of Krishna, try to relieve everyone's misery. Now, if it's so miserable and everybody's in this place, why is it that we have to be here? Prabhupada says sometimes when people hear about God, they deride him for having put them there. But the actual reason we're here is due to karma. We have some free will, like the Lord. who has infinite free will. We have a little free will. So when we break the laws of God, we have to get reaction. So in one lifetime, you get your reactions, some of them. It says when you break health laws or state laws, you get reactions. But finally, at the end of life, there are many reactions, usually, that haven't suffered from them yet by breaking those laws. So next life, you have to take the karma. This is what Krishna teaches in Bhagavad Gita. These are the laws. They're not to be argued about. Well, we try to explain this sometimes to other religionists, people who are actually trying to understand things in a fine way. They find it difficult because they think that this means that innocent people have to suffer, and that the devotees don't care for anybody. But it is not a fact that devotees are indifferent towards people's suffering just because it's by karma, or that we condemn people who are suffering because of karma. But we do know that that's why they're suffering. Rather, we try to help them. So, at least everything is explained. There's no metaphysical puzzle. There's no criticism of God as to why this is a place of suffering. We want it. We want the material world away from Krishna, and we suffer within it due to our sinful activities and the reactions from them. So it's an ugra place. It's a fierce place. And bad as it is in one lifetime, you have to go through it again and again. And sometimes you're in for a little while, you may be in the prosperous country, and so you don't care about other people. But then next life, just by enjoying while others suffered, then you have to suffer. Then you go down for not sharing God's wealth with others and for breaking so many laws of God. After you enjoyed your prosperity in the well-fed nation, human being, then you go down. And then after a long time, you come up again. That is a very fierce and fearful place. So that even Prahlad, who was not afraid of so many things, is afraid of this. So he's calling out, in the last part of the verse, he's calling to Krishna, "When will that moment come when you will call me of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life?" Of course, Prahlad has already experienced Krishna's coming to his aid, but he's calling out now for the ultimate deliverance so that he can go back to Godhead, back to the spiritual world. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he makes it clear that this cry is not going unanswered. It's not that God is deaf to it. In one purport regarding the prayers of Gajendra, and Prabhupada says that the Lord is never lazy or never inattentive to our liberation. He's always working for our liberation. He wants us to come back to Him. But we have to show that we want to leave this place, bad as it is. Many people are attached to staying here and hoping to improve it. Prabhupada characterizes the politicians that way. They're right to the end, they stick to their posts. And fierce attachment to the material world. Don't know anything else. Don't become detached. And don't gain knowledge, dhyana, vairagya. So how can they? They never ask Krishna to take them out. You have to be eager on your side to go back to Godhead. And that means surrendering to Krishna and hearing about Krishna, rendering service to Krishna, which He is canvassing us to do. So the fact that Prahlad is calling, that's also fitting that he's doing that. That's, Prabhupada indicates, it's a sign of his enthusiasm to take shelter of Krishna. He knows that Krishna wants him to come back, and Krishna is offering him all the opportunity, but still he's calling out, "When will you take me back? When will the moment come? I know it's assured, but I'm very eager to go back. I don't want to stay in this material world any longer. It's a fearful place. There's a place for that in Krishna consciousness also. And that eagerness is not only matched, but it is felt many, many more times by Krishna. Yes, I want you to come back. I've been waiting for you to give up this material world. You're asking me, when am I going to take you out? I'm asking you, when do you want to get out? I've been waiting for an opportunity to bring you back. But when this mutual expectancy reaches the right pitch, when the devotee has no desire to enjoy this material world, doesn't want to hang out here anymore, unless Krishna wants him, of course, on behalf of Krishna. But in terms of the Vishayi Taranga, he's not affected by it, but he has no taste for it. He just wants to be in Krishna consciousness. And he knows sufficiently who is Krishna, Janma Karma Chame Divyam Evam Yogadi Tatvata. And he's considered ripe. And he's also indicated the service attitude to Krishna. Krishna has servants in the spiritual world, and they're all like perfectly matured, perfectly enthusiastic, and Krishna wants more of them, but they can't take them on until they're perfectly ready to serve him. So when by your service in this world, you're perfectly engaged as a servant of the Lord, then you're ripe, so to speak, like a mango, and Krishna takes you. Come on, join my eternal servants, my perfect servants in the spiritual world. I'll read the verse again. O most powerful, insurmountable Lord, who are kind to the fallen souls, I have been put into the association of demons as a result of my activities, and therefore I am very much afraid of my condition of life within this material world. When will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? So, are there any questions or comments? Ron, go on. In the beginning, my point was more similar, but the devotee suffers more in the company of demons. Because he thinks sometimes, like a devotee has, for some reason he goes to his parents' home or something, or he's in with some non-devotees. You think, if I could only be with the devotees, he knows that other association, which, as you say, ultimately means the association of Krishna in the spiritual world. So he suffers more than the dull demon. Yes?
So I was going to relate that to a similar consideration. Encouraging of the karma or anarchies that you get to more notice and more pronounce, and you have to, in a sense, be more sincere to pray for their removal. The question is that actually the process by which you qualify to have the anarchies taken out once and for all?
That you become more pained by them?
Yeah, you see them in a more graphic version. Because you have the higher knowledge.
One thing that you brought up is a good point also. I didn't mention explicitly that the point is that we're in this material because of karma, that to get out of the material world, he's calling to Krishna, but he'll have to get rid of his karma. So part of going back to Godhead is getting rid of karma, which is done by surrendering to the pure devotee. At initiation, he relieves us. Krishna forgives us of our karma. It's not done just by atonement, but by the blessings of Krishna, by Harinam. So then past karma is relieved, but we have a tendency to commit more sinful activities. This is called anartha. So your question is that as we work on these last anarthas, which bind us to the material world, as we feel, yes, if we are complacent about the anarthas, that's not good. We may take some relief from the initial entrance into Krishna consciousness, which is almost like material relief for some people who are maybe suffering from drugs, or really sensitive people suffering from the relations with the asuras, always being cheated and burnt out by girlfriends and boyfriends and parents and bosses and this and that. And they come here and they find people are so much nicer, the devotees, and they just come here and take relief. It's a kind of material relief in the spiritual atmosphere. And then you get relieved of your karma and your bad habits. These are tremendous gains. But it could be possible that one would just sort of stop there and think, this is enough, I've done enough. And I feel so relieved. Let me rest. But we shouldn't rest. We still have so many more anarthas to break all the bonds to go back to the spiritual world. We shouldn't stay in the mode of goodness. So, yes, to be alert to your sinful things in your heart, even though you're a good man, a good woman, and others are praising you as religious, but you see, I don't have any love for Krishna, I'm so self-centered, I'm attached to my tongue and belly, all under regulation of religion now, but still, I'm not a really surrendered soul. If you start to feel, or be aware, that you still have anarthas, then there's hope. If you don't think you have any more anarthas, just because you're following the four rules and chanting 16 rounds, then you'll be static. So we have to be like that, feel the presence of the anarthas, and be aware that I'm not a pleasing servant of Krishna. Krishna will not take me back to the spiritual world. He won't be pleased by me. Somehow I just thought of the image of Lord Chaitanya when he accepted Sanatana Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami gave up everything, but he just had that one blanket, a very good blanket that someone had given him. And so he said that Lord Chaitanya didn't say anything, but he was looking at the blanket. And then Sanatana Goswami realized that, what is this? That I've come to the renounced order, but I'm keeping a very excellent blanket. So he gave it away, and Lord Chaitanya was pleased. So he saw, I'm not pleasing Lord, there's something I'm doing, I'm not pleasing Lord Chaitanya. So Lord Chaitanya can see, and the sensitive devotee can see that I'm not pleasing Krishna. And there are different ways to know that I'm not pleasing Krishna. I'm not feeling so much bliss when I chant Hare Krishna, or there are different signs. So when you see, I'm really not pleasing Krishna sufficiently, and then if you're really lucky, you'll know what it is that you're doing that he doesn't like, and you'll give that up. And then he'll be very pleased with you. So we have to be vigilant to these things. And by regular practice, of course, of bhakti, they will go. Like by washing and washing, all the dirt will go without a separate process. These are such nice prayers. Prabhupada says we should pray, and the best prayers are given by the acharyas. If you can adopt them in your own life, that's very personal. So we can pray like this, like Prahlad, and ask Krishna, when will you call me back? Please do, and take me out of this material world. And then Krishna may indicate to us what we have to do first before he will do that. Yes? He says, when will that moment come when you will call me to the shelter of your lotus feet, which are the ultimate goal for liberation from conditional life? So Lord Chaitanya is also asking the same thing. He says, he has a prayer that's almost very similar to this verse. Ai nanda tanuja king karam. Oh my Lord, I am your eternal servant, but somehow I have fallen into this miserable ocean of birth and death, samsara chakra. Please pick me up and place me as the atom at your lotus feet. So there's that same plea. Please pick me up. Please put me at your lotus feet. Now, he's not asking specifically janma janmani, he says in the verse you're referring to. Birth after birth, I want your devotional service. But I want to be liberated from all material desire. I don't want any women or followers or wealth. I just want to be liberated as to serve you life after life. So that is similar to this. Prahlad Maharaj is not exactly just praying for salvation. Although he is saying that he's afraid of the chakra of time, and he wants to be delivered back to Godhead. We shouldn't think that these are two like different philosophies, you know, like there's Vaishnava philosophy and there's Mayavadi philosophy. There's even within theism there's Christian teaching and Gaudiya Vaishnava thinking. These are but they're, sometimes they're incompatible, although they're similar. But these things are very compatible, and it just requires a deep understanding. The desire to go back to the spiritual world and the desire to eternally serve Krishna birth after birth in this world. There's the same sentiment of wanting to eternally serve Krishna. If he's here or if he's there, there's not much difference. We're talking about a completely pure state. If you try to figure it out from the material state, you know, which is better, or which am I supposed to do, you can't understand it unless you reach the pure state in which it doesn't matter whether you go there or whether you stay here. Like when Prabhupada passed away, it's not like he was praying, please send me back here so I can preach, or because this is the best thing, or please, I must go back to the spiritual world and not have to come back here. He said, I don't object if I have to leave. And then he gave the example, use a Bengali word for a threshing machine, a farmer's threshing machine. He said, the farmer's threshing machine, there's a saying in Bengali, if you bring the threshing machine to heaven or Vaikuntha, what will it do there? And because it's built like a threshing machine, if it goes there, it'll thresh, you know, cut the grass, the hay, the wheat. And if you keep it here, that's what it will do. So the pure devotee, he'll serve here or he'll serve there. But it's pointed out that I don't serve you on the condition that you'll take me out of this material world where there's suffering and then I can be in the blissful state of the spiritual world. And that's, I want to save myself trouble, and so that's, and you're the medium to liberate me. That's salvationism. But he's just saying, I just want to serve you. Please call me to your lotus feet so I can serve you. Perfect service is in the spiritual world. Well, if Krishna wants, he'll call him there. And if Krishna wants, he'll call him there and then send him here to preach. At least I don't want to be forced to take some position like I'm one philosophy or another philosophy. What if Krishna wants? Do we mean to say that those who are with Krishna in the spiritual world, they're less than the preachers? We don't want to say that. But we don't want to say that the preachers are less than those in the spiritual world. They're both serving, they're just serving Krishna in different ways according to his desire. He wants gopis, he wants gopas, and he wants preachers in this world. So in one sense we say, is more superior not to want to go back to Godhead, but janmani janmani ishvara, to keep being born here and preaching. But you should understand the implications of that. Don't just take it in a simplistic way. And the implications are that they're one and the same thing. Liberation from birth and death means pure devotional service to Krishna, here or there. Is that all right? I'll take some of the ladies. Yes?
Well,
they are. I wasn't saying. Yeah, thank you. All right. If you want to go into that particular letter, it was a lady wrote that she heard Ramaswar say that the spirit of the book distributor is evokes a particular sentiment of the gopis, which is that the gopis, they don't only want to enjoy Krishna themselves, but they push others to Krishna. So that pushing others to Krishna is what the book distributor is doing. Can that comparison be made of the book distributor pushing the people to Krishna the way the gopis do? And Prabhupada said yes. So that would indicate that there's a spirit like the gopis, even in the preachers who are in the material world. Which they're trying to please Krishna here the way they're trying to please Krishna there. Make Krishna comfortable, Prabhupada said. The devotee, most people want to make themselves comfortable. The devotee wants to make Krishna comfortable in so many ways. They do it by deity worship and by relieving his anxiety about the fallen souls. So that's what they do in the spiritual world, and that's what the devotees do here. Of course, generally, we tend to do it as sadhakas here, just practicing, and we still have anarthas. But there is such a stage as spontaneous devotional service done even within the material world, in which the person is still in his material body, but he's liberated. But that's a rare, very advanced stage. We should be careful not to think that just because we're in the practicing stage, we're exactly like the liberated devotees in the spiritual world. They have no envy, no anarthas, and they're very pleasing to Krishna. Yes?
Is it correct to say that when you're encountered by demonic people and you're not preaching, you tend to be dragged down by them to their level, whereas if you're preaching to them, you're raising them up and the Lord's raising you up at the same time with mercy?
And that's a good way to put it. Because that influence is very... it's all pervading, certainly, in this world, asuric influence. And in terms of numbers, the asuras greatly outnumber the godlike persons. And Kali Yuga is getting worse. So people with inclination for piety get overwhelmed by bad association, unless they're asserting and actively trying to preach or give Krishna to others is a kind of protection. As I read, Prabhupada says the devotees in the Krishna conscious movement are preaching, and they have to meet many karmis, but they're unaffected by material influences. He blesses them. And by preaching, they'll never be affected by Vishaya Taranga. That doesn't mean the devotee is always successful, but at least he saves himself. I just heard a morning walk conversation, and the devotee was saying to Prabhupada that it's very difficult to try to put your books in the library. The people say it's just another version of Bhagavad Gita, that they're not interested. And Prabhupada says, it was the second time this devotee had said something about it being difficult to be a devotee or difficult to preach. So then Prabhupada, he got a little stern. He said, of course it is difficult. Do you think it is easy? He said, do you think preaching is easy? He said, it's a fight. He said, so when there's a fight, do you mean that when there's a fight it is easy? And then he was emphasizing that in his talk, that we have to study the philosophy, not only preach, but we have to study the philosophy so we don't get defeated by asuric influence. He said, if you don't study these books, he said, then this Krishna consciousness movement, he said, in a few years it will be closed up, it will be finished. He said, you cannot go on just by Hare Krishna, Hare Bol. He said, but you have to study and you have to preach. Remarkable talk, December 74 in Los Angeles. So he wasn't saying it was easy to preach, because that we had to have the fighting spirit. So part of that not being easy means that you'll approach someone to try to get them to take a book or to be convinced of the philosophy, and they'll say, no, I don't want, go away. And so, in a sense, you are not successful. And again, you try, and again you're not successful, and again you're not successful. But at least they're not successful in making you a non-devotee. And by trying to preach, you save yourself. Of course, you do also bring some people, Manusinam Sahasri Shu, out of many, many people, somebody will come to Krishna consciousness. But you will be saved, and you'll be purged, if no one else. Otherwise, in Kali Yuga, demoniac influence is very influential, very heavy, to turn us towards illicit sex, especially, or intoxication. How can you withstand it when you see it all the time? You see it and you see it. It's very difficult. You have to take shelter of the devotees and the practices of Krishna consciousness. All right, I'll take the taking up the time. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.